So I think we left off in chapter 10 before I left in Revelation, the book of Revelation. So God willing, we're going to try to pick back up on that next week. This week, I've already said that I wanted to bring a couple messages to remind us to go back and review what we've taught here in the church. The most important thing in life, of course, is salvation, right? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life," right? So salvation, being saved, is the gift of God. Everybody needs it, right? But nobody can get it on their own, by themselves, right? The only way to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him both as Lord and Savior, right? There has to come a place in your life where you realize that you're a sinner, that your sin has separated you from God. Now, you listening to me this morning? Most people don't think that. Most people think that they're really okay when they're not. Well, I'm not a bad person, right? I believe in God, right? I even go to church sometimes on Sunday, right? Give my money sometimes. Well, all that's good, right? You can have a belief in your head about God and believe in your mind and give assent to the facts about Jesus and know pretty much that, yeah, I'm pretty sure He came and died on the cross, right? But you can believe all that in your mind and still be lost. The Bible says you must be born again, because believing intellectually, and I'm not talking about, you know, the Bible says believe, right? True faith, true believing is what saves you, or is what brings you into salvation. But before I became a Christian, I already knew in my mind that Jesus was the Son of God. I knew all of that. But I was not a true believer. Believing means that you totally surrender yourself to Him. You cast yourself upon Him, trusting, knowing you can't save yourself, and believing that He can, and knowing that He can, and placing your trust in Him completely, right? The day I got saved, God just kind of said to my heart, "You come to Me with all, or don't come at all," right? You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? As a matter of fact, I've shared this with you. 2 Corinthians 6:17 was one of the verses God used. It was the primary verse God used, because I had already prayed the sinner's prayer many times, right? And asked Jesus to come into my life, into my heart, and save me. I asked Him to do that, right? But at that time in my heart, I didn't really understand what salvation was, and I didn't know that to come to Christ, I had to come with all my heart and I had to turn from my sin. I didn't know that. All I was told, you just believe Jesus is the Son of God, ask Him to come into your heart and save you, and He will, right? So I did that. But nothing ever happened, right? I did it many times. But the last time, God began to deal with my heart, because each time I would get out of jail, every time I go to jail, I'd make a profession of faith to be a Christian, right? I'd ask the Lord to save me, right? And then I'd get out, and when I got out, I'd go right back where I was, right? Because there was no change. Nothing happened to me, right? But the last time when I went back, something happened, right? It changed from just me wanting help for my bad situation to get out of jail. It went from that to me knowing I was lost and knowing I could not save myself and knowing that if I died, I would go to hell. God began to speak to my heart. I thought about killing myself. I was facing 99 years my third time in prison. Facing 99 years, I knew I'd never be free again. And so I thought, you know, I can't be free again, right? So if I can't be free again, I would rather be dead than be living the rest of my life in prison, right? I'd rather be dead, because I thought being dead meant being asleep, right? So if you if you die, you go to sleep. That's what I thought, right? You just go back to the dust, right? But something in my mind kept telling me, and I know now that it was God, that if you die, when you leave your body, you're going to be more aware of what's going on than you were in your body. You won't have this earthly limitation, and you'll be in hell, and your misery will intensify. So I thought, well, I think I'd rather have this little misery in jail than to go to hell and have intensified misery forever, right? So I thought, well, I better not kill myself because I won't be resting like some people say. If I die, I'll just be asleep and I won't know. I'm miserable, right? No, you leave your body, you're going to be in hell and you're going to have your misery forever, right? That's what God said to my heart. No parole out of there. That's what God said to me that day. There won't be no pardon and parole out of hell, right? And so I thought, well, I can't kill myself. I can't be a Christian. I continued, you know, there were Bibles there in the cell, books about God all over the cell. I mean, I was miserable, y'all. I was facing 99 years for aggravated robbery, went on a crime spree, did all kind of stuff, right, that I shouldn't have done. And I knew I couldn't change because I tried. And every time I tried, I failed, right? And every time I failed, I got worse. So each time I tried to change, I'd get out of jail, I'd end up going right back and doing what I used to do, right? But each time I would get worse. I would begin to do things I thought I would never do. And each time it got worse and worse, till finally I was in a position where I was going to kill somebody. Several positions like that, right? I'm not even going to tell you what I was going to do because it was terrible. And somebody would have lost their life and I probably would have been on death row. But instead of that happening, God intervened and stopped it that day. God allowed something to happen to stop that. And instead of me using that person for a couple of days and then putting a bullet in her head, God let them get away, right? Now, why am I telling you this? Because I want you to understand something. We're not just playing church here, right? When I met Jesus Christ 39 years ago, He saved me at a place where I should have been dead in hell. Amen? And instead of letting me die and go to hell, He reached down by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and changed me, gave me a new heart and set me free. And I've been free for 39 years now, right? But that day when Christ came into me, here's what God said to my heart that day. Actually, it was a Bible verse on a pencil. I can't kill myself, I thought. If I die, I'll go to hell. I can't be a Christian, right? Because I already tried that. I prayed that prayer. I did all those things. So I ignored the Bible. I can't be a Christian. I can't kill myself. So what am I going to do? I'm miserable. I mean, when I went to sleep at night, I would have dreams. And in my dreams, people that I had hurt would come up to me in my dream and shoot me point blank. In my dream, and right before I died, wake up, trembling, right? Knowing it felt like it was real. And when I'd wake up, I'd realize I just almost went to hell, right? And I couldn't stop it, right? But 5 nights in a row that happened to me, and every day I'd get up and I'd say, I can't do this anymore, right? Every day, all I could think about was my misery. My daddy died while I was there. I had beat him up right before he died. I beat him up when he was dying of cancer. Right? I beat my daddy up while he was dying of cancer, and now he died while I was in there. Amen? Excuse me, man. Can you let me preach, brother? I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but that's interrupting me. I can't concentrate when I'm hearing you talk. I'm not trying to be rude, but this is God's house, right? And we like to finish what we're saying, right? But is that cat bothering you? Oh, she interpreting? Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. All right. Sorry. All right. We'd like to have a room where we had somebody separate to do that, but I do apologize. We do have people come in that are rude sometimes that do that. I had one guy that used to do that. When God would start convicting him, he'd start talking. But my apologies. Let me finish. I didn't set out to share this morning, but God just, you know, this has come to my heart since I stood up here, right? But that day when Christ, when God convicted me, now listen to me, I couldn't kill myself because I'd be in hell. I couldn't be a Christian, I thought, because I already tried that, I thought, right? And so I wouldn't read the Bible. I couldn't kill myself. I already planned how to kill myself, but something told me I'd go to hell, right? And so that day I thought, well, the only thing I can think to do to help me, to get my misery off of me. Remember, my daddy died after I beat him up, right? I'd never been a good son, and now I have to live with that the rest of my life, right? And I wanted to die. I couldn't get it off. Every day I would think I would be miserable. So that day, I said, well, I'll just write my mom a letter. Brother, look here, if you need to interpret, that's fine. Don't let me stop you for that, amen? Don't let me stop you from interpreting. Yeah. So that day, instead of killing myself and, you know, giving up on trying to be a Christian, I said, well, I'll just write my mom a letter. You know, because my mama, she always been there for me, right? She'd listen when nobody else was, so I thought, well, I'll just write mama, and I pulled a pencil out of my bag, only pencil left. I told y'all before, I had one joint of marijuana that I snuck in there, left in there, right? I smoked my last joint, rolled out of a Bible page. Didn't even get high that day. Something just kept telling me, boy, something's going to happen to you doing this, right? But as I twirled that pencil in my finger, thinking about what to write to my mama, I looked down at the pencil and there was a Bible verse on there, right? Now remember, I wouldn't pick up the Bible. I already tried that. I'd already given up on that. But that day when I looked at that Bible verse on that pencil, you know, the Word of God is quick and powerful, right? Whether you want it to be or not, whether you intend to read it or not, it's got power of its own, amen? And when I looked down at that verse that day, I read that verse and it said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you and I'll be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Amen? Now, I didn't understand all of that, but I did understand that when he said, come out from among them, I knew that God was saying to me, that if I was going to come to him, I had to forsake all those people that I used to run with doing all my stuff, right? Doing all my illegal, wicked stuff. That if I was going to come to him, as a matter of fact, the last time I heard the gospel, I said no to Jesus, right? Because my buddies were sitting there, and I thought, well, if I become a Christian, what are they going to think, right? And I was more concerned about them than I was about God. And so this day, God just said to my heart, from that verse, come out from among them. And so I knew that day, if I was going to come to Christ, I'd have to come out from among them. I'd have to make Christ more important than them, right? He had to become one, right? And the second thing was, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And the first thing popped into my mind was that last joint I had in that bag. God just spoke to my heart that day, if you're going to come to me, you're going to have to give that stuff up too, right? If you're going to come to me, you're going to have to give up all those things, right? Now, I couldn't quit all that. I've been doing that stuff all my life, right? But God told me that day, if you're going to come to me, you got to come out. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't serve God and idols of any kind, right? And so I knew that day if I was going to come to him, I had to turn, right? That I had to give him first place in my life, right? And so, hey, I just knew that after that. And I knew when I read that verse, y'all listening to me? It's like somebody, see that string hanging back up there? It's like somebody just went and turned on a light in my mind. I'd heard all this stuff before, but that day I knew it was God talking to me. And I knew he had said that to my heart. I knew it. I felt it. Amen? You listening? And so the only thing I could think to do is I said, man, God's talking to me, right? And so I got all the books, all the Bibles, I put them on my bed and I just started reading. For 2 days I read. And it got down to the last day. And the last book was a little Gospel of John booklet. And in the front of it, it had what they call the Romans Road, a little explanation of how to become a Christian, and I read it. I knew something was missing, and I knew I needed the Lord. But I didn't know what else to do after that. All I knew is God said if I was going to come to Him, I had to come all the way. You listening? And I knew I wanted to, right? At that point, I didn't care anymore what my friends thought, right? I didn't care anymore. That day, I said, man, my friend, you know, I did what my friends wanted, got out and came back again, right? Following my friends. But this day I knew this is it, right? And when I read that Gospel of John booklet, and I tell, you know, I don't go around leading people in prayers all the time, you know, because that's what happened to me. I was prematurely, people tried to prematurely get me to be a Christian when I wasn't ready, right? I prayed them little prayers, but I wasn't ready to be a Christian. I wasn't surrendering. I was just praying, right? But this time, this day, it was different. And I knew this day that if I was going to come to Him, I had to come with all. Matter of fact, I looked back down on that little book and it had a thing there to sign, right? It had the prayer, it had the explanation of how to be a Christian, and then it had a prayer. If you want to be a Christian, pray this prayer, right? Well, again, I prayed them prayers many times, right? And didn't ever become a Christian. And then it had a line there that says, if you prayed this prayer, sign the book, sign your name. So I got my pen, and I got ready to sign it, and that same voice in my mind said, you've signed these before, and nothing happened. This is it. In my heart, something was saying to me, this is it. You come to me now with all, or don't ever come to me at all. You're going to come to Christ, you got to give something up, right? You can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to be willing to turn from your sin, turn from whatever God says is wrong, and to follow Him. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Amen. But that day when I read that prayer, I mean, I knew I wanted the Lord, right? I mean, I didn't really know what I wanted. I didn't know what I needed, really. But I know when I read that, look here. Here's what it said. I looked back down. I got ready to sign it, and some said, you signed these before, and nothing happened. This is it. You come to me now with all, or don't ever come at all. And believe me, folks, that day I knew that this was my last call. And by the way, my last call became the effectual call, for those of you who know what I mean by that. Amen? The effectual call to me was, this is it. Come to me now with all, or don't ever come at all, right? And so I looked back down at that page and I read that prayer again. And as I read that prayer, it was different than all those other prayers I'd ever prayed, right? All it simply said was, God, I know I'm a sinner and I can't change. Now, you listening? That was me, because I had been trying to change for the last 10 years. Every time I went to prison, every time I went to jail, I knew I needed something. And I wanted to change. I just didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what I needed, right? But that day I knew, amen? That day when I read that prayer, it said, God, I know I can't change. And I'm tired of trying. You with me? I was so tired. I was tired of trying to change. Please come into my life and change me. Now that was it. And at that moment, as my heart surrendered to Christ and my heart cried out to Him to come into my life, listen, it's like somebody just walked over and lifted a load off of me. And I knew that moment, I felt the load lifted, a peace came into my heart. Joy, I mean, the presence of God was in that cell, right? I'm sure the presence of God had been there all along, but my sin separated me from Him, right? But that day when Christ came into me, my sins were washed away, and I knew it. You listening to me? I'm not making this up, right? I believe salvation is real. I believe when you really come to Christ, He really and truly takes your sins away. And you'll know it, because sin has a way of burdening you down. If you're one of His, of course, right? If God doesn't convict you, you love your sin, right? You hear me? All those other times, I didn't care about my sin. All I cared about was me. And that I didn't like the consequences of my sin. I didn't like being in jail, right? I like getting high. I like doing all those things. I just didn't like what had happened when I did them. See? But this time it was different. This time I didn't want those things anymore, but I couldn't quit on my own. I tried to change, but I couldn't. But that day, putting my trust in Jesus. Listen, Christ died on the cross, was buried, and He rose again. You know, the Bible says when He died, when He was, when He hung on that cross, that He bore our sins in His own body. That day when Christ was on the cross and God took the sins of all His people that would ever believe in Him and He put them on Jesus that day. He put all my sins on Jesus and He punished Jesus for my sins. That day on the cross, Jesus bore my sins. I know He did. Matter of fact, you know how I know? Because on the cross that day, He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? See? So obviously, God the Father forsook God the Son, hanging there on that cross as He bore my sins. God forsook Jesus as my substitute. He paid, Jesus bore the punishment of my sins on that cross today, which was God turning His face from Him and allowing Him to feel the eternal anguish of soul that I should feel in hell for eternity. Jesus bore that on the cross that day. Are you listening to me? That's how I know that day when Christ came into me that day and that burden was lifted off of me, I know that's when the blood of Christ was applied to me. And that payment Jesus made back there on the cross, that day was applied to me and God took those sins off of me that Jesus already paid for, and I knew it. You with me? Now, I know everybody don't have the exact same experience I did when they get saved. Some people don't have this traumatic experience, but they still know when Christ comes in them, and they still know when the peace of God comes in them because they're forgiven, right? But I know God saved me that day, right? And I never was the same again. From that moment on, everything I was doing wrong, I got up that day, some guys came in with some cigarettes. I started trying to quit smoking the day before, right? I tried four times before and I couldn't quit. This day some guys came in with some cigarettes, got over in the corner. Alvin was one of them, y'all met him. And lit up them cigarettes. Boy, and I'm telling you, I'm sitting there, I just got saved. And all of a sudden, you know how it is, if you ever smoked, that smoke came across there, you smell that smell and that craving just grabbed a hold of me. Well, I had to. I needed a cigarette terribly, right? But for the first time, something is like somebody on this side of my head said, "Get you one. God don't care." It's that temptation. Get you one. God don't care. But then I heard this other one on this side. People say, "You're crazy." Well, no, it was. I mean, I don't know why God did it that way. I didn't have no preacher there to preach to me, so God's talking to me, right? In a sense, through my own mind. Using my own thoughts, right? But it said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And so for the first time in my life that day, I realized that part of my smoking craving had to do with the devil. See? There was a satanic, demonic temptation, craving, using my own flesh, right? And so when that craving came up and that verse popped into my mind, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, I just got saved not even an hour before. And I know God's telling the truth because that day when He saved me, I knew everything God said was true. And so this time when I heard that, I said, well, if God says to resist the devil and he'll flee, then I'm going to do that, right? In that moment, I made up my mind not to take a cigarette. And it was like a presence. I felt the presence just move away from me. And that craving for the cigarette just subsided. And I felt that presence move away from me. And I know that demon was standing right there in the corner looking at me. You say, oh, you're just a crazy charismatic. No, I was there. I know what happened. And I know there's a real devil. I know there are real demons. I've met with them personally, amen? And I felt that one move away from me. And when he moved away from me, that craving subsided. And I haven't had a craving for a cigarette since then, right? Had other cravings, but not that one. Other habits I had that I did every day. And I'm not going to say what they are because we have mixed company here. Some of you know, things that I would do with my own body every day. That when it came to that point that day, that same Holy Spirit said in my heart, we're not going to be doing that anymore. I just heard that in my mind. We're not going to do that anymore. And I said, okay. 2 days later, 3 days later, sitting on my bunk, I realized that I hadn't said a cuss word in 3 days. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you quit all that to be a Christian. I'm just saying, after Christ came into me, everything changed. All those bad habits the external ones especially, began to just diminish, right? I had to say no to them, right? Now, There were some struggles that I had with other things that I had for one of the struggles I had with a fleshly issue lasted 15 years in my life. And it took God almost killing me to deliver me from that. I'm talking about from the intense pull of it, right? Not that I gave into it all the time, but I'm saying there was an intense pull, right? And it took 15 years and a terrible tragedy to deliver me from that, right? But I was never the same. From that day Christ came into me, I never was the same again, right? If any man be in Christ, the Bible said he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen? When you become a true born-again Christian, you change. It's not you, it's God. See, that day I called out to God, I called out to God because God already called me. He was already calling me and already done did something inside of me. I don't understand it all, but I know I came to Christ because He came to me first. Amen? God called me, but He called me. And He said to me, come to me now or don't ever come at all. And I knew I had to come, right? Now you figure out all the regeneration stuff and all that because I know you got to be born again to believe, right? But all I knew is God said, come to me. And I had a choice to make. And I made that day I made the right choice, right? All the other times I didn't. That day I did. Somebody said, you're taking credit for yourself. No, I'm not taking any credit. I know now why I did, why I didn't those other times, but why I did this time. Because God did something in me this time that He didn't do that other time. He was working on me to bring me to that. Amen? But you still got to come. You see, you have to believe. Your eyes have to be open. You have to know. There has to be something that changes in your heart where you realize that you need Christ and that He is the Savior, and He has to call you personally. And once He calls you, you have to surrender. And once you surrender, you become a new creature. You with me? And I'm going to say this about that, right? I know there's all this external evangelism that goes on, you know, where people press people to try to get them to pray a prayer, you know. That's not what happened to me, right? It did many times, but here's what I'm saying. I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because people misuse Scripture and try to misapply it doesn't make the truth about it wrong. But I know that day when Christ came to me, He called me. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if He's calling you, then you need to come. But I want you to understand, before that happened to me, the time before this when I was locked up, a young man, I thought I was a Christian because I prayed that prayer that other time, right? But a guy looked me in the eye that day and he quoted John 8:44. Listen, I said, God's everybody's Father. I thought I was a Christian because I prayed that prayer. But that day he quoted a verse to me that said, you're of your father the devil. He just looked at me and quoted that verse and said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you'll do, right? And I knew that day I wasn't a Christian because God told me that day in my heart. I knew I wasn't a Christian that day. But I thought I was a Christian for a long time. God had to get me lost before He could get me saved, right? Because I was convinced externally, just because of these motions I went through, that I was a Christian, right? But God convicted me that day that I wasn't. But then after I realized I wasn't, that's when God began to deal with me, and then I was able to become a real Christian. Amen? But anyway, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, right? It's the gift of God, and believing means to adhere to Him, to not just intellectually agree about it, but to believe it with all your heart to where you surrender yourself to Him. Amen? So if you died right now, do you know where you'll go? You know in your heart, first of all, that you're a sinner. Right? The Bible says all have sinned. You listening to me? Every one of us in this room were born a sinner. Adam sinned, and because Adam sinned, death passed upon all men. Did you know that when Adam sinned, his blood was changed? Everything about him was changed. And every one of his children after that were born sinners with a sinful nature, with a desire to sin. And they start out sinning. Amen? You're born a sinner with a sinful heart, a dead heart, spirit. And from the day you're conceived in your mother's womb, you're lost. Until the day you come to Christ, if you do, right? You don't become a sinner later on after you sin because you're a sinner. You don't become a sinner because you sin. You're already a sinner. Adam became a sinner because he sinned. But you were born in Adam, already a sinner because of Adam's sin. And when you die, if you die without being saved, without being born again, if you die like you were born, you will go to hell. Because God cannot let an unregenerate person into heaven, because they'll make it into hell. Amen? You've got to be born again and have a new heart before you can get into the new Jerusalem. Amen? You must be born again. I want you to think about that this morning. Amen? Now, I had another message I was going to bring, but I've already gone this far and I've made up my mind in the past. I'm not going to preach two messages in one sermon this morning. But I want you to give some serious consideration to what we're saying this morning. Some of you in this room, you've heard the gospel over and over again, and you know that it's true, right? But can you say with all your heart that you know right now if you died, you would go to heaven? With all your heart, you know if you die, you'll go to heaven. And if you can't say that, then you need to seriously consider what we're talking about this morning, right? Secondly, when the Bible says you must be born again, can you say with all your heart, you know you've been born again, right? Well, I've asked that question to many people. And I had a guy tell me one day, yeah, I was baptized. I said, well, I didn't ask you if you was baptized, right? I asked you, have you been born again? And he said, well, that means being baptized. I said, no, where you get that? That's not in the scripture, right? Being born again, everybody in this room's been born once. I can guarantee that, Brother Matthew. I can guarantee you, everybody in this room has been born once. Has anybody in here not been born once already? Well, no, if you weren't, you wouldn't be in here, right? You wouldn't even be in here. But if you're only born once, hey, if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. You'll die physically, and then on the great day of judgment, the Bible says, whoever's not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. You listening? Which is the second death. So if you die without being born again, if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. If you get born again, if you're born twice, the first birth, the physical birth, and then a spiritual birth that is real, you'll only die once. You hear me? Now think about it for a minute. You must be born again, right? It's a real birth. It's not a metaphor. And when it happens, just like me that day, when I got born again that day and my burden was lifted away, I knew it. There was a change. See, I didn't... Hey, you listening? That day when I got born again, I didn't know that's what it was. I didn't even know what to call that. That day when I got saved, I was sitting there totally changed and I knew it. And I was thinking, what do you call this? I didn't even know what to call what happened to me, right? I knew so little Bible, I didn't even know what was called what happened to me that day. And I just remember I picked up the Bible and I laid it on my bunk in that jail cell. And I looked down and it just opened to John chapter 3, verse 7, I think it was. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. And I knew that moment. You with me? That day when I got saved, I didn't know it then, but the Holy Spirit came into me. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into you. The same Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible comes to live inside of you. And that day when I opened that Bible, that same Holy Spirit that just came into me, inside of my heart, said, that's what you call it. That's what just happened. And I knew when I read that what happened to me that day was I got born again. Amen? And when you get born again, it's a real birth. It's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. But it's real. And when it happens, you become a new person. A brand new person in Christ. Your sins are washed away. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you become a brand new creature. And you can never be the same again. Amen? Let me clarify that. That doesn't mean you can't sin. That means you can't sin like you used to. That means you can't live your life the way you did before and sin without it bothering you. Amen? But you can never be the same. And when you get saved, you'll become a new person and you'll begin to grow and you'll begin to become more holy and more holy, more holy as you grow in Christ. Being born again is like being a little baby. You don't know very much, you just know you're saved, right? But what happens to a baby? You got to feed them, right? Sometimes a baby poops, right? You got to change the... You know, we got Pampers today. When I was a kid, it was diapers, you know? I'd run around with mine falling all out the side, you know? My mom would have to go chase me down and take me and clean me all up. And, you know, that's the way a baby Christian is, right? Sometimes baby Christians sin. They spiritually poop in their britches, right? And somebody got to clean them up. You got to feed them. As they grow, they begin to get potty trained. They begin to spiritually grow and begin to feed themselves, right? You become a new creature and you begin to grow. There's a new birth, right? But listen to me, the Bible, the only food that will make you, the only thing that will make you a new Christian is the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. And the only thing that will feed you to help you become more like Christ, to give you the right knowledge about God, is the Bible. Right? The Bible is the Word of God. Without it, you can't be saved. You can't be born again. We're born of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. The Word is the seed that's planted that brings forth the birth. And then after you're saved, it's the Word that feeds us and grows us. Makes us to become more mature. Are you with me? So first you got to be born again. Then after you're truly born again, and you begin to read the Scriptures and begin to attend church properly, regularly, you begin to grow, right? Now you with me? There's only one God. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus, right? There's only one truth, right? Jesus is the Son of God, right? When the Jews heard him say that, they wanted to stone him. They picked up stones because they said, you make yourself equal to God, right? They understood that being the Son of God meant that he was equal with God. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, right? The Bible tells us. You want to know who Jesus is? Somebody said he's just a man. No, he's a man, yes, 100% man, but he's also 100% God. He's the God-man. He's God incarnate in the flesh, according to the Bible. Right? Now, I'm just running through these things, right? Because I believe these are, what I'm saying to you are essential things about the Christian life. Once I got saved, I didn't understand really all that stuff about who Jesus was completely. I just knew he was the Son of God. I believed that, right? And I got saved. But after I got saved, I began to realize that means he's God. Incarnate in the flesh. And I'm gonna just give you a couple verses on that, right? Isaiah chapter 9. Which verse? Isaiah chapter 9. Huh? Verse 6. Yeah, Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, right? Is that what it says? I'm quoting it out of my mind, right? Unto us a child is born. Who is that? That's the Son of God. That Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is a prophecy that God gave about Jesus being born, right? Unto us a child is born. So that's the man. That's a baby in a manger, right? Unto us a son is given, right? So a child was born, but a son was given. Jesus was already the Son of God in eternity before he was given. You understand that? Now listen, look at the text. I might quote it a little bit off, but bear with me. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit here. His name shall be called... I'm just skipping a little bit here because it's not pertinent to what we're saying. His name shall be called Wonderful. Right? Is that what it said? Counselor. Right? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Right? So this child that was born, this son that was given, is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So Jesus Christ is the same as God. These three, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Jesus Christ is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. They're one. You say, how can that be? I don't know. I'm a man. I can't understand how God can be three persons in one. Right? But He is, according to the Scripture. Now, I just want to throw that out to you because the Bible is full of things about God, right? That, listen to me, that our minds cannot conceive. Right? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart the things that God has now prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit, right? So it's very important, y'all, listen to me. It's important to understand who God is, who Jesus is, right? That is not a contradiction. What does it say? As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been His counselor, right? That's what Paul said. I mean, all we know about God is what He shows us, what He lets us see from His Word. Otherwise, we can't know anything about God, the real God. We can know there is a God, because everybody knows that, right? But the problem is, we don't know who He is. We really don't know who He is. We just know God exists. It's not until you become a believer in Christ and God puts His Spirit in you, then and only then can you really begin to know who He really is and get to know Him. And the same God becomes your Father. Amen? You with me? I said to that guy in that prison cell that day when he was witnessing to everybody, he said, God's my Father. And I said, well, God's everybody's Father. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, you're of your father the devil. He quoted John 8:44. You're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. Right? And I mean, usually I would get mad at somebody for talking to me like that, right? Especially in jail. But I was convicted. It just cut me, and I knew it was true. And that moment, from that day on, I knew I wasn't a Christian. I thought I was before, because I had prayed that little prayer, right? But that day I knew I wasn't. But hear me out now. I'm gonna bring this to a close. Hear me out. When you become a born-again Christian, God becomes your Father. Right? Remember the verse I told you. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, right? It's not a matter of me receiving Him. It's a matter of Him receiving me. I need to receive Him, but I can only receive Him if He receives me. And He said, I will receive you. What does it say? And will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. So come out. Come out and be separate. If you're going to come to Christ, turn from your sin to Him and trust Christ. Forsake those things to follow Him. Amen? And He will be a father to you. Amen? And you'll become... That day when you truly repent and turn from your sin and give yourself to Christ, He literally becomes your Father. Now, no, I'm not going to get into the order that all those things happen. We can nitpick about that all day long. The fact is, you've got to come. If you don't come to Christ, you're going to be in hell. You have to come out and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, right? You have to be willing to come out of those things. I'm not saying you can quit all your sin and then come to Him, but you have to be willing to turn. You have to be willing to come out and be separate and allow Him to work in you. Amen? You have to begin to agree with Him and stop arguing with Him, right, about what's right and wrong. Well, marijuana grew and God planted it and all that. Well, get off all that, right? God made water too, but you can't jump in it and smoke it. Or drink it, or sniff it. Right? If you do, you're going to be dead, right? If it alters your mind, you don't need to be messing with it. That's idolatry. That's trying to get peace from something that God didn't ordain, right? He wants to give you peace. Amen? He wants to take away your heavy burdens. And if you'll come to Him and pray, He will. And you won't need something else. Alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is people have an addiction to, right? But if you come to Him, He'll give you rest. Amen? He'll take away your sin. He'll give you peace. Amen? But when you can't be saved unless God saves you. The Holy Spirit has to draw you, quicken you, make you a new creature. And once that happens, you will begin to know and understand the Word of God. It will become real to you, and God will begin to teach you from it. And I'll guarantee you that there's only one Holy Spirit and one interpretation of the Scriptures. And God will begin to lead you into the truth. Amen? And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free when you continue in it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks today for Your goodness. We thank You for this time together just to open up Your Word, Lord, just to give testimony, Lord, to testify of the saving grace of God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray for each one in this room this morning, Lord. I know there's a reason why You had us to preach this way. And so, God, if there's someone here today that's lost, that needs You, Lord, I pray that through this message, You will have already worked in them and convicted them, Lord. But like me, Lord, that when they go away from here, they'll go away knowing that there's something missing. And Lord, that if You could give them that something today, we would say thank You for that. But Lord, we ask Your will to be done. We pray everyone here in this room today, as we go away from here, there will be something, whatever it is You've said to us this morning in our hearts, that we will hear and obey it. And act on it and do it, Lord. And Father, we'll thank You for it. If there's anyone here right now that needs to just surrender themselves to You as we speak, that right here in this place, God, today, that they would just call out to You and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Father, we'll give You thanks for all these things. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Lord, if there's anything else that needs to be said, if anyone here needs to talk, Lord, that You'll compel them to come to us afterward, and we can talk. But Lord, I pray right now You'll touch every heart, answer every question, meet every need. Don't let anyone here today go away without what they came here to get. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.